We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good to be with you on a Tuesday afternoon. It's a little warmer than I think we thought, Gianna. I got here and I took my jacket off. I've since put it back on. It's not that warm, but warmer than I was expecting, certainly a lot warmer than last week, and that's good because there's going to be fans filed early outside of Oracle Arena waiting for another bobblehead night. Tonight is the Nate Thurman bobblehead. A lot of people have asked me back on the East Coast, you know, why are the Warriors wearing the that 42 stripe on their jersey? And I've had to explain, well, it was a passing of a family member for the Golden State Warriors. Right. And tonight, Nate Thurman will get honored with a bobblehead, and that should be something that fans arrive early for. We are outside of Oracle Arena, in between Oracle and the Coliseum, which is back in the news for kind of the wrong reasons today, because Pro Football Talk has a pretty definitive piece about how Vegas is inching closer and closer, and it just seems like that's a reality we all need to start preparing for. Having said that, there's everything we hear the owners say publicly. There's everything that the owners leak to the public. And then there's what the owners do when they actually close the doors and vote. And we have seen those be three different things several different times. So maybe, just maybe, there's a little hope out there. But if the latest from Mike Florio holds true, it looks like a Mayflower moving truck will eventually be packing up the Oakland Raiders. It's disappointing, and the timing can't help but be seen as a little ironic, because the Oakland Raiders now mean more to Oakland this year than they have in the last 15 years combined. It's been a magical run back to the postseason, and I'm looking at how the Raiders go ahead and lock up playoff positioning. Hey, it's real simple. You win this weekend against the Colts, the Chiefs lose, you get the AFC West. It's yours. So there are reasons to be incredibly excited, but I also think, due to the business operation that is this team always looking for another place to hang its hat, well, I'll tell you, that is going to be something that is just going to hang over this entire season and kind of prevent everyone from buying all the way in. I know there are a lot of people who say it don't matter. It will. The sting will come if it indeed happens. But right now, what I wanted to do to open up this show on a fun, kind of positive note, because if I know there's one thing Raider fans like, it's schadenfreude. It's ruining another team's day. Raider fans kind of live for that. Well, in case you didn't understand, in case it wasn't framed how devastating that win was to the city of San Diego, just in terms of pride, just in terms of where the Chargers stand in their own community, I've got some reaction to share for you. I had my friend Darren Smith join us last week. He is a radio show host down in San Diego.
Mighty 1090.
His longtime producer, a woman named Marty Coswell. And Marty knows every single athlete that has come through San Diego and called, you know, that city their own in the last 20, 25 years. I'm going to tell you right now that to this day, I bet you Bruce Bochy has a better relationship with her than anybody in the Bay Area. Like,
wow.
She is the queen of knowing who's who in San Diego. And she's very pretty. She does some on-camera work for the station as well. And she did a little synopsis, a four-minute-long video, which you're going to hear her in the beginning basically say that, you know, we've seen a lot of bad days in San Diego, but today was one like no other. And it's the day where Dean Spanos' relationship with the city of San Diego officially died in front of our eyes. And then there is player reaction. And then she wraps up. If you are a Raider fan who enjoys destroying the San Diego Chargers almost beyond repair, listen to this. This is a video that the Mighty 1090 posted on its website yesterday after the Raiders win down there on Sunday.
When all is said and done, this game will not be remembered for the Chargers losing 19-16 to the Raiders, or the Chargers falling to 5-9, clinching yet another losing season, or the Chargers being swept by the Raiders for the second consecutive year, or Joey Bosa with sack number 7.5, which leads the Chargers. This officially is the game in which Dean Spanos completely lost the Chargers fan base. The Chargers did prepare for a very loud Raiders crowd, pumping in practice during the week to go ahead and prepare. Phillip Rivers having to go to a silent count several times throughout the game. But in all my years living in San Diego, in covering this team for the past decade, I have never, ever seen a crowd like this in San Diego. I would guesstimate a good 95% Raiders fans filled it up at the queue to watch their team do something the Chargers haven't done in years, clinch a spot to the playoffs. This is what Dwight Lowery said after the game about this atmosphere.
An away game. That's what it felt like. Yeah, it's shocking. And I think it's, you know, maybe reflective of, you know, where the team is. Everything that's been going on, I guess, for the past couple of years with the stadium issue and whatnot. There's a lot of black out there today. It's pretty embarrassing.
I don't know. Sucks to kind of come to your home and basically be on the road, so that's about it.
You guys were talking about expecting it because you pumped in the crowd noise, but still was it a little bit jarring just to see the percentage of Raider fans, how loud they were, and
yeah, I mean, it sucks, definitely, to be at home, like I said, and basically having to go silent count and having to work with sound, so that does suck, especially when you're at home. So,
how many of you Chargers fans remember the glory days of when the Chargers were expected to beat the Raiders, when they beat them 13 straight times? The LT chants, the you can't run chants. One guy, Antonio Gates, does. This is what he said about the feeling, the atmosphere today at the queue.
No, this was pretty interesting. You know, we understand that, you know, the Raider fans travel and the impact that they have when we have these home games, but never nothing like this. It was essentially a home game for them. Just the crowd noise, you know, just I've never seen nothing like this in my 14-year career. So it's unfortunate. I don't think it had nothing to do with the errors that we made. You know, we still have to make the right plays and be efficient offensively. But it was different. It was a different atmosphere than what I'm accustomed to. Well, I mean, it's a little disappointing. Obviously, when you don't win and you don't get the support that you feel like you need or deserve. But I think it comes down to, you know, there's no more victories in this business. And I guess the fans feel the same way. With all due respect, all the fans who've supported the Chargers over the 14 years I've been here, this was just something different. Never seen nothing like this. But we've always expected the Raider fans to come and support this today team. But not to this magnitude, of which it was basically a home game for them. You know, part of the field, every part of the stands that I looked at, it was predominantly black and silver. But, you know, it has nothing to do with the fans and what we were able to do today.
Imagine this scene, though, ever happening during the glory days, the LT, the you can't run. I mean, just back in the heyday when the Chargers were expected to win.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, winning is probably the solution to it all, to be honest with you.
So what next for the 5-9 Chargers? Really, the only way to go ahead and make this season worse is if they were to go ahead and lose on the road at Cleveland to the winless Browns and then announce that they were moving to Los Angeles, which is right now what most people expect them to go ahead and do.
Savage.
Ouch.
A savage recap if I've ever heard one. And that's the hometown station trying to make light of it.
Yeah.
Marty's been to every single major sporting event in San Diego in the last 20 years. You heard Antonio Gates basically say in his entire career he's never seen anything close to what Raiders fans did down at Qualcomm. And, you know, I guess that is the type of thing this franchise is counting on when they talk about relocating to Vegas. You know, if they look at what happened in San Diego and think, if that can happen down in San Diego, that can happen in Las Vegas, maybe not as easily, but not that much harder. So I'm sure that even though that's a great moment for the Raiders, it probably takes you further away from staying in California than it does getting you to stay in California. Not that really fans or anyone's opinion has anything left to say in this matter. It's going to be, can nine owners agree Vegas is a bad move?
Well, and fans are going to be angry when their team leaves, as are the Charger fans, why they're not showing up. Not that they, you know, it's, again, we've talked about this, the sports barometer in San Diego with fans and so forth. You know, a lot of fans don't always go to all the games. But like she said, in the heyday, I mean, they showed up. It was fun. And I think fans get discouraged. And that could potentially happen here when the if the Raiders decide to go to Vegas.
Well,
then what? I mean, how do you feel then? Are you going to travel to Vegas?
Right. An interesting part of the equation is going to be is, let's say the Raiders indeed do move. They Mark Davis applies for relocation. The owners okay it. And as they're playing their best football in 20 years, there would be 2 years of dying on the vine, I guess. Is
right.
that what it would be? Or it would be, you know, you'd be watching a lame duck football team peaking on the field while it's looking and building another field in another state. That's almost an odd, torturous psychological experiment that, of course, would only be conducted on Raider fans.
Of course, that would be a hard pill to swallow.
It really would be. So it's what I look at when I'm sitting here getting very excited about a football team, but now officially very much starting to worry about this team's future right here in the East Bay. Again, the latest on the Vegas Raiders from ProFootballTalk.com sums up like this: barring a major and unexpected shift, look for the decision to be the creation of the Las Vegas Raiders. So it's just a reality that I think people around here better start preparing for. We got a great show for you today. You better start preparing for all that's coming your way. Tony Bruno in about 15 minutes. Gary St. Jean joins me at 4 o'clock to talk about the Warriors and Utah Jazz. That's what we've got going on at Oracle tonight. Utah Jazz are officially the best team in the NBA that nobody's talking about. They're 18-10 on the season. They just gave pretty much the Warriors all they wanted to, with only one healthy starter in the game in early December when the Warriors took on and narrowly beat the Jazz in Utah earlier this month. We've got Marcus Thompson joining us today. Bobby Marks, who covers the number crunching for the NBA. Bobby Marks is going to join us around 5 o'clock today to talk about how the new CBA is going to affect the Golden State Warriors and the re-signability of both Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. We're going to get into some of the all kinds of Dorcas Malorcas contractual things about the NBA, which you need to understand if you want to keep a team that's billed as a supervillain together. We're going to do that at 5 o'clock. And with a seasonal twist, we'll have a Tuesday trifecta for you before the 6 o'clock hour strikes. That's when Kerry Keating will join me out here for Warriors Warm-Up. Our coverage of Warriors and Jazz begins at 6 o'clock tonight. The other big thing that everyone seems to be talking about today is the idea that guys who expect to be drafted are now going to be sitting out some games. Well, a bowl game anyways, which has been deemed meaningless unless apparently you're playing in the college football version of the Final Four. Does this now mean the Rose Bowl is meaningless since it's not one of the games that springboards a team into the national championship this year? So, Christian McCaffrey, locally, Leonard Fournette, the headliner, are the first two guys to officially say, we're turning away from everything a football team is about in the name of protecting ourselves as we enter the draft and take a professional step into this sport. Now, it's easy to understand, and I tell you, Leonard Fournette made an argument today on Twitter that's really hard to argue against. It was a picture of him and his daughter, and he said, this is the only person I'm playing for.
Yep.
And I appreciate that. I really do. And now that we're in a situation where athletes are multi-million dollar investments, and, you know, the whole, hey, just get an insurance policy to play in a game. But that's officially easier to say than do. It really is. Those insurance, and the only thing that I can tell you about insurance is every single time you buy it, you pray that you never needed to use it. So imagine if now you had to prove the level of your career-altering ending injury and what it's supposed to be worth to you, even though the insurance company doctors insist that you've fully healed and could have pursued a career, and now you're, you know, up to your eyeballs with lawyers and red tape for the rest of your life. So I understand the implications. I understand the protective idea that this is based in. But we have to come back to what the sport is about. Football, more than any other team sport, asks the guys playing that sport to put aside your personal agenda and suffer for the good of the team. To get to the end of your career and in the final act you commit in a Stanford Cardinal uniform, in an LSU uniform, and now I guess there is a running back from Baylor who is about to do the exact same thing. He is going to forego his bowl game in terms of focusing on the combine. I just don't see how a football team looks at you the same way as if you had played. I just don't. I really think that there is something that, even though you protect your body and there's no way that you're going to be injured because you're not playing in a game, you're still doing harm to yourself and your legacy. And maybe this is me just looking at it through rose-colored glasses, but I've been on enough football teams to know that you sacrificing what's most important to you is pretty par for the course for everybody on the team as you come together as a team. You study less. You spend less time with your off-the-field friends. Maybe you spend less time with your significant other. You spend less time with your boys. You certainly sleep less. You're asked to commit to the sport of football in a way that, I'm not saying these guys aren't committed to it, and these guys gave their universities many, many carries, a lot of success. But the team sport of football, for your last act with that team to be completely self-serving, how it doesn't leave a bad taste in everybody's mouth, including the player. And everybody is now citing the cautionary tale that we saw from this last year's draft. Jalen Smith plays in the bowl game, gets hurt, loses his draft status. You can count the millions that he lost just by moving down the draft board. Everybody now goes to him as the case that they cite to support the idea not to play. Well, Jalen Smith himself is saying that, you know, if I could go back and do it all again, I swear to God, I would go and play in that bowl game. So the number one guy that you bring up that is the cautionary reason to not do it is saying himself he would have still gone and done it. And I just think about what makes the sport of football great. What makes this, I think, the most team-driven sports of all the team-driven sports that we watch. It's everybody working together and sacrificing their personal agendas to come together for the good of the team. And now the best player on the team isn't going to play because he might get hurt. Let me take this a step further. Why even now play your senior year? Why even play your junior year if they're talking about how you're going to be drafted after your sophomore year? Why would you risk an entire season of football if you think your draft status and your professional path is secure and assured? You know, it feels like we're just peeking into Pandora's box, and this could go wrong before it goes right. It's just really, really weird. We now live in a world where resting and not being hurt is seen as a better move than the whole, like, man, if you're going to go out on your shield.
If it's pretty much a done deal, you're going in the first round, though, and you have a family already to support, I can completely understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And I mean, and if you put the, you know, his teammates, if they were in his position, they might feel differently.
Well, here's the thing. What about his less popular than him right guard who has two kids who's playing in the game?
Sure. I mean, I understand that, but I mean, I'm sure all of them have dreams and they aspire to go to the NFL. And if they had that, you know, potential and possibility, they might do the same thing.
Hey, Alabama's entire offensive line, you might get drafted. You're going to skip the bowl game now? Good luck to your quarterback. Good luck to your running back.
Well, some other kid might get some time that they didn't get before.
I mean,
I see where you're coming from, but it football is a team sport, but at this point, it's about the individual's future.
I mean,
that team mentality is going to be a lot more important to them in the NFL when they're getting that paycheck, supporting their family.
Look, and I'm not saying that anybody here is a bad guy. I understand all the thought process coming from both sides of it. I don't have to like it, though.
Of course not.
And because here's the deal. I signed up for sports. I didn't sign up for the business details of sports. I signed up for sports. And when the business details get in the way of sports, I hate the business end of it. And the fact that the business end of it hasn't been satisfied in any way that any reasonable person can look at the NCAA and think, bang up job, you've done right by your student athletes. You're going to have more guys looking at the NCAA as the bad guy that you need to get away from as quickly as possible. Again, it's just the slippery slope that I do not like. We've got one call that I don't want to park you behind, Tony. Let's say hello to Drew in Millbrae. Drew, you're on the Damon Bruce Show. How you doing?
Hey, doing good, Damon. Thanks for taking the call. You know what? I want to preface this by saying that, you know, being a lifelong Raider fan, I hope they do stay in Oakland, you know, but I think there's a lot of Raider fans like myself. You know, I was a kid when they left the first time for L.A., and I followed them all the way through. How could I not? I mean, Howie Long, Marcus Allen. Yeah, I'm a fan of the Raiders. They could play in Alaska for all I care. I'd still follow the team, and I think that's what you're going to see. I mean, you saw it in San Diego, a sea of black. And like Jack said yesterday, the team travels well. So you not only had people from the Bay Area going down to San Diego, you had all the old Raider fans from L.A. going down. I mean, it's just the brand is global. And I think, you know what, no matter where they go, they're gonna have a huge, huge following, especially with the team they have now. I mean, so, you know, when they were in L.A., they ran those guys, Marcus Allen, Howie Long, they ran that town. And that's why Kroenke didn't want him down there. He knew who would have been running L.A. It would have been the Raiders. Go Raiders.
Yeah, well, look, he's very more than – he'll be happy to let the San Diego Chargers share his new building. But, by the way, the L.A. Rams might lose out to LAX before it's all said and done. There are major construction concerns that have been crept up and popped up and brought up by the FAA. Right now, they won't let them bring in 9 massive cranes to begin construction. There's a big holdup. So, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Building anything in California is officially difficult to do. When we come on back, we're going to have our friend Tony Bruno join us before we start hearing from you with more of your phone calls as well. So make sure you get in line at 888-957-9570. But when we do come back, it is a Tuesday, and it's time to say hello to the one and only fabulous Tony Bruno next here on 95.7 The Game. We got Warriors and Jazz, and we already got a line of people waiting for the Nate Thurman bobblehead. Doors don't even open for another, 2.5 hours. They must really want a bobblehead. Tony Bruno bobblehead. Now, there's something everyone would want. Tony's good enough to join us again this week. We didn't get to talk to him last week. And, Tony, I know you went through something there. I was going to ask you whether or not we could even ask you about it, but then you were tweeting about it, so I figured that there was no reason to be coy why you didn't join us last week. There was a fire at your son's house. How is he? How is everyone doing? How is everything?
Well, he and his wife Erica, and thanks, Damon. He and his wife Erica are fine, and they're really amazing. You know, everybody says this about their kids, but my son Chris, my middle son, who is Chris, and his wife, they rescue dogs as a sidebar. They have a business, and they had a fire in their home last week, and it destroyed the home, and 14 of the animals got out.
Oh.
Two of them died, including my son's own personal pet that he's had for 14 years, a great little long-haired dachshund. But luckily, they all got out. No one was injured, and the two dogs died of smoke inhalation. And now they're in the process of just trying to put pieces together and, you know, the Christmas tree, all the Christmas presents. So there's never a good time to, you know, to lose everything. But certainly in this time of year, as we saw in Oakland with that horrific warehouse fire not too long ago, the devastation that a fire does and how it just basically changes everything you do. And with the cold weather setting in, it's just been a rough week for them. But They're hanging in there, and I had a chance to go down there and help out for a couple of days, but it's been rough.
Oh, it has to be, man. My thoughts are with you and the family. I'm so sorry that anyone's going through that. That's terrible. That's terrible. Is there anything we can do? I mean, can we send him some cookies or brownies? Gianna, she's already thinking, like, tamales solve all problems.
You let us know. That package will be in the mail tomorrow.
All right, thank you. Well, I don't know. They're good. I mean, obviously, my older son set up a GoFundMe page, and obviously they have insurance, and they will eventually get some money to hopefully rebuild their home. But you know how it works with insurance. They're only going to give them replacement value, and so
right.
They'll never be able to get what they lost. And luckily, as I mentioned, they lost just personal possessions and two of their animals. But, you know, to take care of the animals, Miss Robin's actually doing a great job putting a little video together of all the animals and how they right now, you know, have no place to live, and other than an old cabin where my son's been working on that. So that we went down there and built a fence so that the dogs can go outside. And these animals are senior dogs that a lot of people don't want around. So I think a lot of people were reacting not just to the fact that my son lost his home,
sure,
that they're okay, but the 14 dogs, you know, now pretty much don't have a place to live full time. They're inside his house, the little cabin that they're living in right now because their home is destroyed. And unfortunately, living with 14 dogs is pretty tough to do for anybody, especially in a small little cabin. So we got them some heat, and we went down there and helped build the fence so the dogs could go outside. But that's pretty much it. It's, you know, it's thinking about all those poor animals and how tough it is for them, too, with no homes and for them to be taken care of.
Oh, well, I mean it, man. It's just my heart goes out to you. Do me a favor. Go online on Twitter. Share the GoFundMe page. We'll retweet it. And help buy some kibble for your son. Seriously, the dog angle could actually end up working out for him nicely here, Tony. I gotta be just an awful person and bring that up. It could be the thing that helps. We out here, obviously, getting ready for the holidays, and Raiders fans got a little present under the tree, Tony. Early, they're back in the playoffs for the first time since 2002. It's happened, Tony.
It's happened, and we knew it was going to happen, not at the beginning of the year. I mean, they're optimists, and Raider fans and the Raider Nation every year thinks it's going to happen. And so, but we saw things developing last year, and then we saw the start this year where there were some question marks and up and downs and the defense this and the offense that and the shotgun formation and Derek Carr, and was he an MVP candidate? And then he goes on national TV, and people were mocking him all over the country. He's no MVP. You know, all that stuff doesn't really matter right now. If you're the Raiders and you're a Raider fan, you know, you got to remember 2002. I remember 2002 being in Jack London Square when the Raiders last made the playoffs and out there with the fans having fun. But that's a long time ago. What's that, 15 years, 14 years ago? So that's a long time when you're a great franchise to not make the playoffs. And so Raider fans have been waiting a long time, and the organization certainly has hit a lot of reset buttons, but they're finally putting something together.
Yeah, good for them. It's these fans deserve so much. There may not be a fan base that has been more mentally screwed with than Raiders fans over the last 20 years. And, you know, it figures that while they're having their rebirth right now, there's still the specter of moving hanging over things. But enjoy the football while you can. It's special to be in the playoffs once again. As you know, Tony, it's always about the money. The NFL has officially done it again. They're going to be selling tickets to something that's really not worth watching or certainly buying a ticket to. Tony, first it was media day. Now the NFL is about to sell the Combine. How much would you pay to watch someone run a 40?
Well, I think a lot of college kids who are skipping their bowl games.
Yeah, really.
Are they going to show up for the Combine? Is Leonard Fournette and Mr. McCaffrey out there, are they going to show up for the Combine? Or is that risky too?
What if somebody slips in the shower or something? I mean, my goodness. I would cease bathing if I were a draft pick.
Listen, I don't blame you. Listen, I pretty much have stopped watching bowl games, too. I mean, I tried to watch some of that Miami Beach Bowl yesterday. There were more people on South Beach walking around wandering aimlessly for cocktails than there were in that stadium watching that game. And, again, I'm not knocking the kids, but there's too many bowl games. And you know what? If you're a star player, you know, but I don't think it's fair to the other Stanford kids who are going to the Sun Bowl. You know, it's just, to me, I get it. You're going to be a pro. We know you're going to be a pro. But I don't know where it's fair for the fans who buy these tickets to go to these games and book trip tickets and airplanes and hotel rooms. And it pretty much sends a message, which I've been saying for a while, that most of these bowl games are just window dressing. You know, I know some kids like to play in them in schools that rarely go to bowls. It's, you know, it's a fun thing. Like Temple went to a bowl last year, you know, and they hadn't been to a bowl in forever. But for the most part, if you're a big-time program like Stanford and LSU and these schools, you know, why would you want to go to a what I call meaningless bowl game in the holiday season? For who? For what, as Ricky Waters once said.
Right.
When he didn't go over the middle and alligator arm a pass.
Yeah, forget it. But I only need the ball 35 times to be effective, coach. That's it. I loved Ricky. Anyway, yeah, you know, look, it, to me, I understand it. I understand the business decision that now hangs over first-round choices. I get it. I really do. But there's a part of me that doesn't have to like it. And everything that a football team is told is you sacrifice the self for the good of the whole. What happens when Alabama's got five first-round projected offensive linemen, and they all skip the upcoming draft or the upcoming bowl game, and now your quarterback's in trouble all afternoon. Now your running backs have nobody to block for them. I mean, you know, will there be a point where kids are backing away from national championship games? That's my question.
That's a good question, too. I mean, if Stanford were playing for the national championship or in the college playoffs, Would the players feel the same way, or is it different? Yeah, I mean, the injury risk is an injury risk. Whether you're playing in the Sun Bowl or the BCS, well, the BCS is long gone, but even that was a joke. But if you're playing in one of these two playoff games on New Year's Eve, aren't you risking something too? There's a lot of first-round draft picks who are going to be playing in the games to try to play for the national championship. So when does it become important to play in this game? Is it because the game's meaningless? Or does it depend on the level of the importance of the game?
Right. I mean,
that's what I don't get. I don't understand, because there's a lot of bowl games that, trust me, you look at the stands, you watch these games, they're just filler programming during the holiday season. And I don't blame a lot of these kids who don't want to play, but when is it fair? When is it fair to the fans, and when is it fair to the teammates who also have to go out there and play in these meaningless games?
Right. Let's say a kid starts his junior year, and a month into the season, Mel Kiper puts out his first big board, and he finds himself in the top five, and he's like, well, I've done my job. I'm just going to quit on the rest of the season. I'm a top five draft pick. I'm done. I mean, I wonder if that's where this goes at some point. I really do. We got to change gears, though, Tony, because I know you like talking about significant sums of money. DeMarcus Cousins has been fined a significant amount of money by the Sacramento Kings for verbally abusing a Sac B reporter, who, by the way, looks like Andy Capp from the Andy Capp fries bag. He's got the little pork pie hat and whatnot. This tiny little guy, and he's got DeMarcus Cousins leaning over him like the Jolly Green Giant, putting a finger that's half the size of the guy in the guy's chest, saying, you know, don't you ever include my brother in the report. The brother was included in the report because the report was about an off-the-court arrest, which the brother was involved in, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, this is a long setup to just ask you, what do you think a significant fine levied by the Kings to DeMarcus Cousins actually is? What do you think the dollar amount is?
I saw they fined him $50,000.
Was it
$50,000, and I know he issued a statement, and he said that, you know, I made the wrong decision at the wrong time. There's a time and a place to say everything. But obviously he was, he was not very happy, but he doesn't seem like he's angry at the Kings for doing what he thinks that they obviously have a right to do.
Well,
$50,000, is that a lot, do you think? I mean, $50,000 is a lot of money to me, and I'm sure you as well, but what's the reaction been by a fan?
No, well, I hadn't heard $50,000. I just seen the significant amount of money. If it is $50,000, I'm going to tell you that $50,000 is not a significant amount of money to a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, for goodness sakes. That is an insignificant amount of money to a guy. That is a quarter's worth of work for DeMarcus Cousins, I'm guessing, during game time. $50,000? I mean, that's nothing to him. That's hardly a deterrent. That's hardly going to change his actions.
Yeah, but when was the last time you saw athletes get fined for different things, but when was the last time you saw a team actually fine a player that sum of money for having a verbal altercation with a sports writer or anybody in the media, or even a teammate? I mean, you
right.
know, it happens all the time, but you don't really hear the numbers. But I don't know if that's a lot. You're right, it's not a lot to him, but certainly to the average fan out there, they're saying, wow, you know what? Some of these, you know what the other, some of the reaction will be, well, you know, these media people,
they need to be spoken down to every once in a while, put in their place, too.
By the way, there's an article right here on the Sporting News says right now that DeMarcus Cousins releases an apology to everyone except the Sacramento Bee. So there's that. I'll tell you what they should do with the fine. They should give it to that poor sports writer who probably doesn't pull down 50 a year anyways. That's who should get that fine, the poor guy that he was yelling at. Tony, thank you so much. Good to talk to you. Thoughts with your son and his family and all of their pets as they go through this. And thoughts certainly with you and the beautiful, the lovely Miss Robin as well. Merry Christmas, happy holidays from all of us to you.
Well, thank you, Damon. And Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you, Gianna, the whole gang there at 95.7 The Game, and, of course, everybody in the Bay Area. And have a safe, happy, and healthy one. And we'll see you next week.
You got it. The one and only Tony Bruno here on 95.7 The Game. When we come on back, we got people on hold. We're going to talk to you next. What do you think about players sitting out their bowl games? You want to get more into the Raiders, what they just did ethering pretty much the San Diego Chargers as they will be ever known for the rest of their lives. That was an unbelievable way to go out, like we played in that video. The only way for the season to end would be to lose to the Cleveland Browns and then come home and file for relocation. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is the Damon Bruce Show. Warriors and Utah Jazz coming up tonight. Our coverage begins at 6 o'clock. Kerry Keating joins yours truly out here on the concourse in between Oracle and the Coliseum to get you ready with an hour pregame show ahead of Tim Roy. All of it coming up tonight on 95.7 The Game. Did you see this, Gianna? Steph Curry, he is now officially auctioning off the Oakland Fire Relief Fund shoes that he wore the other night.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Steph.
Those are cool.
Yeah, he wore the Oakland Strong in-game high tops, and he had the Ghost Ship sneakers that he wore for his pregame. In case you didn't know, Steph needs two pairs of shoes to get ready for a game. He warms up in low tops, and then he moves to the high tops for the game.
Wow. It's good to be Steph.
It's good to be Steph.
And what a great thing he's doing to raise money for families. And
he's auctioning off both pairs. The low tops that he uses to warm up in, right now you can go in, the leading bid is $1,500, over $1,500. 34 people have bid on that. 85 people have already bid up his Oakland Strong high tops to $7,600.
Wow.
So
that's great.
I guarantee you that those get to 10, if not go north of 10 before the end of the night. Steph Curry tweeting. All of this is on eBay right now. He's auctioning his custom Oakland Strong and Ghost Ship shoes to raise money for Oakland Fire Relief. Very good, Steph Curry.
That's great.
There's nothing people don't like about you, seriously. We go to Joe in Oakland. Joe has been waiting patiently. Thanks very much. Joe, what do you got for me this afternoon?
I think it's kind of a big mistake that they're not going to be playing in the bowl games. I agree with what you said about the five offensive linemen. Let's just say Alabama has five offensive linemen who know that they're going to be first-round picks, and they're not going to play because, hey, I'm going to be a first-round draft pick. I'll skip this game. Your quarterback and whoever is in the backfield is going to be in deep trouble the whole game.
Right.
You might as well just call these bowl games that aren't worth anything your future at whatever bowl is going to be.
Right. I was a senior at Indiana the same year Orlando Pace was a senior at Ohio State. And from week one of that season, everybody knew that Orlando Pace was the best football player in the country and would be the number one pick in the draft. And Orlando Pace was the number one pick in the draft after proving himself being the best player in the country. He was unbelievable. He didn't skip a down. I mean, he was assured to be the number one overall pick before his senior year even started, and he never skipped a down. You're going to have guys sitting out their final years the minute they see they like where they are on the Mel Kiper big board.
Hey, here's my closing, man. Welcome to Rest World at the college. Welcome to Rest World in your college years.
No kidding. Right. Rest World, college years. It's like Saved by the Bell, college years. It is. It's Rest World taken to the bowl games. Let's go to Greg in Concord. Greg, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon, thanks for having me. First of all, I wanted to say my wife is a huge fan because she graduated from IU.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah,
what a woman.
Best holiday trip we ever did was go see Cody Zeller at Assembly Hall beat Michigan baseline seats. It was awesome.
Very nice. Impressive.
So, you know, Tony stole some of my thunder with the idea that, you know, I bet if McCaffrey's playing for a national championship, he's in. But, you know, when Oregon State went to the Oahu Bowl back in, like, 99, it was just a vacation. You're given money to go party on the beach. Where's the incentive to play, especially because Stanford's always hoping to be vying for a national title? I understand that, you know, the responsibility and all that, but there's so many bowl games. I mean, who wants to watch the 6-6 Toilet Bowl? You know, and for Stanford, you know, the Sun Bowl might be like that. You know, you're hoping for national aspirations, and you end up playing a meaningless game on middle of the week, you know, New Year's kind of thing.
Right. No, look, you don't have to. I'm not here to sell you on the prestige and greatness of the Sun Bowl and how it's the launching pad for legends forever. I mean, I'm not, you know, I am completely unaware how disposable some of these bowl games are. But if you're a college kid, this is what you play for. This is what the vast majority of kids spend their entire college careers practicing for, playing for. The amount of guys who get drafted, have professional opportunities beyond college, are far and few between. They're the most important guys on the field. And for them to now say, well, I've used college as much as college has used me, and I'm out of here now. There's something about it that makes the football fan in me have an allergic reaction to that thought pattern, no matter how much I understand it, no matter how much I might even agree with it. There's something about me as a football fan that just smells funny about the whole thing, and it's not right. It's not right. What if, and maybe this would actually benefit, maybe this is the worst example because less Kaepernick probably means better. But what if Colin Kaepernick knew for a fact at the end of this year he was going to be a free agent? He was not coming back. He was going to exercise his clause. What's to prevent Colin Kaepernick from saying with six games left in a season that's going nowhere, I don't want to get hurt again, and I'm definitely leaving the Niners, so I'm just calling it right here. See you, everybody. I got free agency to worry about. Can't get hurt before then.
Yeah, and he's already in the NFL, though. These are guys with the potential to be there.
Right, and you could say, well, he wouldn't get paid for those
exactly.
games.
Exactly. So
that would be a sacrifice that he'd have to make. But, hey, you got guys who are leave a little bit money right here for a bigger payday tomorrow. That could happen.
It does take away a little bit of the romantic notion of what the bowl games are about and the team and so forth. But I do not have a problem with it. I completely
right.
understand
Look,
where they're coming from.
Cynical media members, Lord knows I've been accused of being one of them myself every now and then. But cynical media members that try to tell you that these bowl games in the NCAA are officially bad for kids probably never played on a team, probably never went through the experience that these guys sign up for, and the minute it's over, they wish they could recapture again in their lives.
Sure.
I would be really, really careful fast-forwarding yourself out of a college experience because, per usual, without injury, that professional moment is waiting for you for the rest of your life. Enjoy this while you can. It could be the last day you ever have playing with a group of guys that you really love and play hard for ever. You know, Christian McCaffrey meant everything to Stanford over the last few years, meant everything to Stanford fans, all nine of them, over the last 2 years. And now, why even bother? Why even bother? Carlos in Oakland, final call of the hour. What's going on, Carlos?
Hey, how you doing, Damon? How you doing, Gianna? Happy holidays to you guys.
Thank you.
Quick question. What is the difference between the coach who leaves, accept another coaching job early, and skip the bowl game, than the player doing the same thing?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that brought up an awful lot. And there really isn't a difference. I think that when coaches end up leaving one school to go to another, there's always going to be hard feelings. There's always going to be kids who feel like they were sold a promise that wasn't delivered to them. And, you know, all I can tell you is that coaches, they go cash their new check, and they usually take a lot of heat on the way to doing that. And that's kind of part of the landscape. I don't like this is now being just part of the landscape of modern football. I got a problem with it. I really do.
Okay. Second point. You said earlier there are nine teams that need to say no to the Raiders moving to Nevada.
Yes.
After we saw in San Diego and heard Antonio Gates, why would any team want the nation invade their territory? You have awakened a sleeping giant in the Los Angeles market. The Chargers, the Rams, even Arizona Cardinals, they're close to Las Vegas.
Well,
and I'm not sure who has TV rights, if they have TV rights to Las Vegas, but why would you want the Raiders to move in to a place where they're going to take over?
NFL teams in driving distance of Stan Kroenke's brand new empire. How much do you think he wants to see the Raiders move to Las Vegas? Probably not at all. It's to the point where he'll never allow the Raiders to come and share his new stadium with him. San Diego Chargers? Yeah, nobody gives a damn. So, yeah, sure, you can come on in and be our roommates. No girl rooms up with a girl who's hotter than her and gets more attention to her. The girl never picks the prettier friend as the roommate.
You're probably right with that.
I think I might be right about that one. When we come on back, Gary St. Jean, he's a beautiful roommate. We're going to let him move in for a segment next here on 95.7 The Game.
Hiya, fellas.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.